friends, and welcome to episode 135 of Let's Talk with Scoggs. We have a magical guest on this week. Ash Gordon is so talented. It's ridiculous. It was such an exciting conversation because she's got so much going on at the moment. Her creativity is busting at the seams, and she's had an opportunity to express all of her creativity in different ways with lots of different collaborators. She has her own music out under the name Ash Gordon. There are two albums. Some of my favorite tracks are Chicka Boom Boom, I Love I Want It, I Love Yes, I Love All Right, All Right, All Right. So immediately go stream all of that. And then while you're there, you can check out the music that she has written for a musical called Drag the Musical. So many folks involved with this, and it just sounds like the most beautiful, exciting celebration. I'm just so excited for the show, and you can keep up with all the things that Ash has going on with her own music and as well as the musical, all on Instagram. She'll give you all the shout outs towards the end of the episode. She also gives some extremely thoughtful advice on how to deal with nerves when it comes to going out of your comfort zone and starting a new journey. Lovely, lovely conversation. So happy that I got to know Ash. The possibilities are endless for Ash. So much going on. A lot of burners on the stove as a metaphor that she uses in our conversation. So without further ado, here's episode 135 of Let's Talk with Scoggs with Ash Gordon.
Okay, cool.
Where are you calling from today?
I'm in Los Angeles.
Okay, and what's the weather like today in Los Angeles?
You know, I haven't been outside because I'm like a hermit, but okay. It has been hot. So I'm going to say it's very hot outside.
Okay. I used to live in LA. I was there for 10 years. The weather was the best part. And then my husband and I relocated, pandemic job offer, got to switch it up. So we live in Oklahoma City.
And oh my God. I love Oklahoma City.
You do?
I think it is the nicest people I've ever met are in Oklahoma City.
Ash, that's so great. Because I say that all the time. But my problem right now is that, yes, everybody's nice, and it is a diverse part of a very non-diverse state. So Oklahoma City, it feels very safe and welcoming. But the weather right now is absolutely insane. It's 100 degrees every day, Ash. It's terrible.
Oh, my God. Well, it's like not too different from here, honestly. So
I was going to say, it sounds like it's still really hot in L.A.
Mm-hmm. So it's okay. Like you're in L.A.
It's like I'm in LA. And where did you grow up?
I grew up in New York, in Long Island.
Okay. Okay. So when did you make the switch to LA?
I moved, I want to say like 8 years ago now. It's mm-hmm. so crazy. Time just like flies by, I feel like. Like mm-hmm. you get here and then there are no seasons. So there's no concept of time.
That's right.
It's crazy.
Well, also looking at, you know, all of the projects that you've worked on, you are a very busy creator, and oh, sorry, my puppy is he just made a sound. A little, what are you trying to tell me? Okay, sorry about that.
He wants in.
He wants in. He has something to share. but you're all of the projects that you've worked on, and what you have coming up, and now we have your own stuff. Like, where was the first creative moment you had where it was either you were collaborating with someone or on your own? Because when I look at all the things you've done, I'm like, gosh, she must have been doing this since she was in the womb.
Wow. Thank you. I'm just, you know, a busy body, you know, coming from New York. It's like, I feel like there's a New York hustle that is just mm-hmm. embedded in me where it's like, I always have to keep projects going. Like how I look at my life is like, it's kind of like a kitchen, kind of like a stove. It's like mm-hmm. all the burners are on. Some things are cooked more than others. Some things you need to pay attention to at certain times more than others. So, but over the past, I want to say year, all of the burners have been on, and it's been a lot of, juggling and paying attention to different things, but, it's all very rewarding, incredible stuff. But in terms mm-hmm. of the Ash Gordon project, like my solo career, I started, so basically I had this band called the Blah Blah Blahs, which I'm still active in. We still make music, and we make a lot of music that does well in advertisements and commercials. And I was making music where it didn't quite fit the Blah Blah Blahs anymore, but I really, really loved it. It was like this evolved type of rock music that touched on indie and touched on a little bit of 80s, a little bit of 70s. It touched on different parts of my musicality that the blah, blah, blahs didn't. So I was like, I think I just need to like, it's time. Like I learned how to use Ableton, which is a production program. I already knew how to use Pro Tools. And I just took it upon myself to really craft songs that I would love to listen to in an advertisement or not.
Nice.
And once those songs started coming to fruition, they didn't really work as blah, blah, blah songs. I'm like, I just need to release this as me, as Ash Gordon.
Oh.
Yeah. So it really, it all came like very naturally. And then I got married, and then that's when I announced I was Ash Gordon, because I'm a little superstitious. I don't want to like announce it before, you know, the actual marriage. And it's great. It's kind of like a new era of my creativity and my life as a human being outside of music. And I felt like celebrating it.
Is your partner a creative as well?
He is. Yes. He is a comedy writer. He also does acting in advertising commercials. Like he's one of Dr. Rick's patients in the Progressive ad.
Stop it.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Oh my gosh, those ads are my favorite. I apologize that I just had such a strong reaction to that. But those ads, I will watch them over and over again, like an episode of The Office. They're so funny. Oh,
it's hilarious. It's absolutely hilarious. And yeah, I mean, it's from his comedy chops, like being a stand-up comedian and all of his improv stuff. Like he told me when he's at a shoot for with Dr. Rick, it is all improv. So everybody on that set is like tippy, tippy, top level improv people. Yeah.
You're the couple I want to get drinks with.
You should. Oh, I mean, we're a lot of fun.
Yes. If you're ever in Oklahoma City or if I ever get back to Los Angeles, you two sound like the people that have the most interesting perspectives. Well, I mean, I've listened to all of your music, so I already know that you're super fun. But what a fun couple. How did you guys meet?
Oh, thank you. Well, believe it, the internet.
Perfect.
The crazy wild west of online dating and swipey apps is where we met. And it was funny because like I would go on the apps and I would like delete them immediately because it was just so frustrating. Like I feel like LA, if you're really trying to find like your soulmate in LA, it's particularly difficult because everybody's out here for themselves. I mean, that's the reason why people come out to LA is to develop themselves. So they really only have them on their minds and not really like a team building mentality.
Totally.
So there was a lot of kissing frogs for me, but then finally I met Grant. We were in a chat. We were having like a really great conversation on the dating app. And I don't know, some other creeps were just like freaking me out. And I'm like, I'm just deleting the app. And they're like, oh man, but that one guy that was so nice, and we were talking about music and he was really funny. Turns out one or two days later, he ended up finding me on social media. And all he knew is that my name was Ashley and I make music. And he literally typed in Ashley Music on Instagram search. And I was the second person to come up because we had one friend in common.
That should be a movie.
It should be. I know. It's crazy. But, and also very, very classy. He didn't DM me. He didn't like any of my pictures. He just added me. And I recognized his picture because it was the same in the dating app.
Yes.
And I DM'd him. I'm like, oh my God, thank God you found me. There were some creeps on that app and I just had to delete it immediately. And then it gets even better. Then we exchanged numbers and we both came from Long Island. I had a 516 number. He had a 631 number. That's the same island. There's only two. Yeah, I know. It's just crazy. It's just too much.
This is too much. It's too much. I can't. My heart is, this needs to be a romantic comedy. Obviously, we have someone who can write the script. We have music ready to go. We have our lead characters.
Let's go.
let's do this. Oh my gosh, that's adorable. I love happy endings like that. Oh my gosh. Because, I mean, I was lucky. I met my husband on a dating app as well.
Oh, but, nice.
You know, it can be, like you said, it's kind of the Wild West. It can be a little dicey.
Yeah, it's treacherous.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about all of the happy music that I've been listening to the past few days, which is all of your music. It's just made me feel happy and dance and get out of my head. and feel like I can do anything, and also want to just shower in glitter every moment.
Oh, good. What color?
Oh, all the colors. The rainbow sparkles are
that's
my favorite.
That's the
glitter.
Right answer.
Yeah, and then it's just stuck on you for days. You don't have to reapply. It's just a one-time thing.
That's awesome. All know that glitter that won't come out of your hair.
Exactly. That's the stuff that sticks. That's the good stuff. But I also know that you've had an opportunity to collaborate with a lot of artists. So when it came to, like you already kind of touched on, making your own stuff, this just doesn't feel quite right. This feels like it's for me. Talk to me about all of the other artists that you got to work with on this.
Oh, wow. Well, everyone involved on the album, with the exception of one person, was a really great friend of mine, a dear friend that I had written music for them for years. And then I invited them to come into the world that I was building. So it was all very natural. The one person that I didn't actually know personally, his name is Bonavega, and he is an absolutely wonderful LA artist. I don't know how to describe him other than like he's like Rocky Horror Picture Show meets like the best 80s power pop you've ever heard.
Ooh.
He's just, and on stage, he's wild. He makes it like very, very theatrical. But he was actually on America's Got Talent, this guy Bonavega, and I thought he should have won it. And it was crazy because I had a friend who was a producer that kind of had worked with him. And I was like, oh, okay, there's like a connection. And later on, when I was working on a song, I literally heard Bonavega's voice in my head. And I was like, I just got to reach out to him and see if he'll do this. And he happens to be a big fan of drag queens, of which I work with many of them. And so he knew who I was. And so I DM'd him. I'm like, yo, I got this song. I would love for you to be a part of it. And he said, yes, absolutely. Let's go. And within a week, he was in the studio. It was great.
Oh, my
but
goodness.
The other artists like Trixie Mattel, that was another one where like, honestly, how it happens is I just sit down and write a song and then people's voice will pop in. They'll pop into my head. And I can't control which voice that is. It just has to make sense with the song. But usually it's people that I've worked with, right? Because I'm predominantly writing for other people. So Trixie's voice popped into my head for like a male-female vocal type of situation. And so that's how that happened. And Trixie was like, yes, absolutely, anything you want. Because she was a big fan of my my band, the Blah Blah Blahs. So she was into it like from day one. She's like, anything you need. What a wonderful person. Oh. And then the Alaska song, Everyone is a Little Bit Gay, I was at a drag club and I was watching this I was watching this drag queen like bump and grind on this very, very straight man whose girlfriend clearly like brought him to the drag brunch. And it was, I don't remember what song was playing, but I just remember the song in my head was way more appropriate. So I had to run to the bathroom and voice memo it real quick. Like everyone is a little bit gay, a little bit gay, a little bit gay. Just popped in there. And then I shared it with Alaska and she's like, oh girl, yes, we need to absolutely do this. And then Earl St. Clair, oh my God, I love Earl so much. He's one of my favorite singers to work with. What a wonderful, soulful, gritty male vocal he has. And I just remember thinking like, I just need, that was one song where I wasn't alone thinking of his voice. I made the session happen. So I got my man, Todd Spotifor, who's a great producer, and Earl together. And we made that song like on the spot with each other.
Wow.
So I know it can happen like many, many different ways, but essentially I'm very lucky to have a Rolodex of talent to just be like, you, do you want to do this? You, hey, come on. You like this song? Like it's kind of crazy and I'm very, very blessed and I don't take any of it for granted.
Well, it's interesting because I typically have a lot of conversations with folks who are just getting going. This is my first EP, my first single, my first album. And you have had a whole lifetime of the industry ahead of putting out what would be considered like your debut album, but it's not really your debut. So for you to have that community around you and all of those hype people who already love you and it's good vibes, like that's just the dream scenario for a solo project.
Yeah, I thought so too. And that's why like, and also like, I'm gonna be honest, I probably haven't been ready for a solo project until recently because I've, you know, it takes years and years to grow into your musicality and to understand who you are as an artist. And by working with other people, I was able to kind of find myself. So there was no other time but 10 years into it for me to really figure that out.
You know that I love to tell you ways that you can be saving money, and I especially love earning cash back on purchases that I already have to make. And with prices the way they are on things that we're buying every single day, Upside has been an incredible app for anyone like myself who is buying gas every week, groceries every week, or wants to treat themselves to a night out, to dinner at a restaurant. And with every purchase, I am earning cash back thanks to Upside. I love using Upside specifically on groceries because I grocery shop at least once a week and filling up on my gas. Gas prices are, you know, they're something that we can't avoid. We all need gas in our car to get to where we need to go. And if I can earn cash back on those purchases, that feels incredible. So here is what you need to do. To get started, you download the free Upside app. If you use my promo code SCOGS, you get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. It's easy to use. All you'll do is claim an offer in the app, and then you'll click check in at the business, pay as usual on your debit or credit card, and you get paid. Download the free Upside app and use promo code SCOGS to get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. That's $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more using promo code SCOGS. I love the song, Yes.
Oh, that's my favorite.
I love that song. And then there's also the I Want to Be a DJ, which just made me laugh. Like
You
you're.
know who that's about, right?
No, I don't.
Well, I'm sure you do. It's not really one person, it's like a type of person.
Oh, yes, I know that person. I get what you mean. Yeah,
Yeah, we
totally.
all know
Yes.
that person.
Yes. But it's fun that your songs, like it's all kinds of fun. It's like a fun house of music because you can be like literally funny, but then also it makes me feel like I can do anything and it makes me feel happy. It's just a grab bag of just joyful stuff. So thank you for giving me this and for all of us that can listen to. I hope everybody takes a moment and puts on their favorite outfit and dances around their bedroom. And it sounds like as you're describing all of the collaborators and how it all came about, it's just completely surrounded by good vibes. So I don't want to say that you won, but you kind of won, given that we've all had a really terrible couple of years. It sounds like you won. You did
That's very sweet. That's very sweet.
it.
And I'm glad that it brings happiness to you. Like my
Yeah.
whole thing is like I'll never write sad songs and I'll never write songs that puts a woman in a place of being disempowered. So those are my like two rules. I mean, I can write a sad song, but it's not as fun for me. And honestly, I would never sing it. I would give it to someone else. But it really warms my heart to know that like my songs made your day a little better. Like
Oh,
that's it.
totally.
Like that's why I do
Oh, you're killing it. You're killing it.
it.
What are your plans now? Like, do we have anticipations of touring? Is like what's next up?
So I think predominantly what I do is Ash Gordon is going to be a studio project. If shows come up and like if the Yellow Brick Road just happens in front of me and it's like Emerald City means I have to like do gigs around the country, then that's fine. But I'm not necessarily pressing for that. Because I do so much work in the studio that it actually like doesn't make sense with my career. So I think for the most part, Ash Gordon, at least for now, is going to be very much a studio project. Maybe, you know, some visual stuff, music videos could come down the pike. But right now my focus actually is Drag the Musical. That is my main, yeah, that is it's happening in September. I have the
Oh my
date
gosh.
somewhere. Yeah, it's crazy. So that is my baby that I have been working on with Tomas Costanza and Alaska Thunderfuck for like 6 years.
Oh.
It's a lot.
I
It's a lot
can't
of happening.
even. I mean, I was listening to that on Spotify today as well, and I was just going through all the names of the cast and listening to the songs, and I got overwhelmed by just the idea of people come up with these ideas and have to write these songs. And there has to be a production that's going into this. And it's already August. Like, Ash, what's like, I'm so excited and nervous for you, but in like the happy way, excited, nervous.
Oh my God. Thank you. I was a nervous wreck. So we actually did a workshop a couple of months back, and I was such a nervous wreck because I was never a theater kid. I had no idea what a theater production was like. And there I was just in the middle of all this energy. I mean, imagine you have production people, an entire cast of drag queens and Broadway people. And it is just an energy that, like, I'm very introverted generally. So I like froze a little bit. Like, and I was like, what am I supposed to be doing? But like, thankfully, I mean, our director, Spencer Liff, he's so wonderful. And like, what he has so many accomplishments. I can't even like rattle them off because we don't have time. But he held my hand through the whole process. He's like, here, we need you. I need you here in case we need to change lyrics in the song or the book needs some work. But yeah, so we had our workshop and we're doing a full run of it. Our first full run, like from top to bottom of the book. And that's going to be from September 23rd to October 15th, every Friday and Saturday at 7 p.m. and 10 p.m. at the Bourbon Room. So two shows a night, every Friday and Saturday. And I hope, man, I'd love to fly you out to see it from Oklahoma City. Maybe one of these days I can. Let's it be a success. But if anybody's listening, yeah, if anybody's listening and they want to hang, I'm going to be singing backups. I'm going to be singing backups on stage. And, you know, we can hang out and we'll have a drink at the Bourbon Room.
I obviously don't know what this is going to look like, but just the concept of the show, I can tell it's just going to be beautiful, like colorful and fun. And I don't know why this hasn't, there's not like a million of these, you know, it's just like, duh, this should be a show and it's coming and you made it. I don't know. I don't really make a lot of things where I'm proud. I'm like, that was a great sandwich. Woo. So I can't imagine what it's like to be creative and collaborate with people that you love and then get together and be like, we made a thing. Here it is. It's exactly what we wanted it to be. That's just very special.
It's special and it's a new challenge, right? So like I've been doing music for a long time and I can kind of like write a song in an hour and it's like cool, awesome, like great. Of course, I always try and challenge myself musically. But this is part of that. So it was like, okay, can I write a Broadway musical? And it was hard and it was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. But oh my God, we're here and people are very, very excited about it. We have a lot of eyes on it that are like very, very beneficial for the show. So just everybody keep your fingers crossed and, you know, follow our social media if you can, just to like keep up with what it's about. Mm-hmm. It's at Drag the Musical on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's going to be a wild, wild ride.
Oh, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be great.
It's going to be beautiful. Thank you. Yeah. It's a drag show with heart. Like there is a through line of a very important story involving, finding your queerness and what that means at a young age and having a mentor to maybe show you what that is. And family and community. It's just, we're hitting all the buttons that are so, so important to talk about right now.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. And it's on Spotify if anyone wants to go learn some of the songs before you get to see it.
Oh yeah. Drag the Musical on Spotify. It's a lot of fun. And we had a great time creating that album.
Yay. Oh, so there's so many, there's highs and lows of life. I know that. I'm not silly. I don't think every day is rainbows and sunshine, but it seems like we're in a very exciting chapter in your life. So I'm just happy to get to share this with you for this little interview because it's just, I'm excited. It's not even happening to me, but I'm excited.
Thank you. Oh my God. I feel like I'm a little bit manic talking about all of these things, but I mean, all of these things are happening and I'm just trying to I try and like take 5 minutes and just step back and look at everything because it is just so cool to see it all happening. So thank you for acknowledging that.
Of course. Okay, so to have a, I mean, not that we're not having fun, but to up the ante of fun a little bit, we yes. always play this game, and it's called Overshare.
Oh, I'm good at that.
Perfect. So I've got 176 questions. And there's a grab bag, kind of like first date questions. You know, there's some that are serious, some that are very silly, some sure. are very reflective questions. So if you could please choose a number 1 through 176.
55. It's like we're on a dating app.
Exactly. This one is going to work. This is going to be great for you. What is a weird or quote unquote useless talent that you have?
Oh, wow.
You have a lot of useful talents. You definitely have useful talents.
I do, but a useless talent. I could make this crazy sound with my voice. I'll do it.
Okay.
It's pretty great and useless.
What was that? Are you saying girl over and over?
I am, yes. I learned how to do it like in grade school or something. It was like so stupid, but I was like, wow, if you just like use your hand, pick a hand and use it like a megaphone and then uh-huh. press it against your mouth and then kind of pitch your voice up as high as you can and just say girl over and over. Uh-huh.
Wow. I'm going to practice.
I hope That's it sounds, crazy. I don't know how it's going to sound on a microphone, but it sounds pretty crazy like live in person.
Yes, I love it. I mean, okay. I don't have anything that's nearly as fun. My useless talent.
You've got to have one.
I mean, I the most useless thing is that I have a it's not photographic memory because it's not seeing things, it's hearing stuff. So oh. I can remember, like, there's a comedian, he has since passed away, Mitch Hedberg, and aww. I used to listen to his stuff constantly. And I just came to a point where I could do his bit and, like, deliver it in his – not exactly because he was a master of, like, how he delivered stuff. But I could mimic him, and somebody would have thought that it was my stuff because I just
no
had
no way.
Down. I just had it down pat, and I would always be like, that's not my bit. Like, just so you know, that's not my joke. I'm doing someone else that, I mean, if you're my age, you probably knew who Mitch Hedberg was, but if you're 10 years younger than me, then it's a very rare chance that you do. So like, or I can do like comedy shows that I love. Like I can do Seinfeld episodes, probably like the whole episode. Like I just have weird comedy things
no
that I
way.
Really clung onto. I can do them. And when I was little, this is really embarrassing. I cannot believe I'm sharing this, but I'm going to, because I like you, Ash, I'm going to tell you this. So I used to love Saturday Night Live, like the Chris Farley, Mike Myers, Adam Sandler, like the 90s phase. Mm-hmm. And I used to memorize sketches to then go to sleepovers and do the sketches for my friends. And I played all the parts. So I used to do Mike Myers had a character about a little boy who had a hyperactive disorder, and he was very excited, and he couldn't contain his excitement. He was always running, and I just memorized all these sketches, and I would do them for these – like, we were 11 years old, and I'm, like, doing these SNL sketches, and all my friends would sit, and they'd, you know, go along with it. But I was just that weird kid, and I never grew out of that – it's not a talent, though. It's just a quirk. It's not a talent.
It is a talent, though. It's like photographic memory, except with audio. Like, that's really yeah. cool. That's lame. really
it's
cool. And you want to know something?
At trivia. Yes.
Well, you're not the first person I've met with this. I have a friend who actually, interestingly enough, is a stand-up comedian, and he does the same exact thing. He could almost, because he remembers the tone in people's voices and how people pronounce things in songs particularly. Mm-hmm. So he's like the trippiest person to go to karaoke with because it'll be like, oh, is that literally like Radiohead on stage? Oh. Like it's crazy.
Annie likes karaoke? I got to meet this guy. We'd be great
Oh,
friends.
he's a good, his name's Pete Gercio. I could send you his information. He's a very, very funny comic too. But
love it.
So yeah, I mean that I think that's a way more useful than my dumb thing.
No, your thing's cool, especially because it's compounded by all of your incredibly useful, beautiful talents. I kind of and stop and end at memorizing.
That's very sweet. I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'd love to hear a Mitch Hedberg impression. I would love to hear it.
Then in my head, it sounds like it's good, but you're just be generous. Just be nice to me. So one of his things is, I was going to get my teeth whitened, but I got a tan instead. Like he just does that little instead. Like it's just that little way he says it. It's like, not that funny. It's like, okay, you were going to get your teeth whitened, but getting a tan, you didn't get your teeth whitened, whatever.
It's the way he says it. It's like Sebastian Maniscalco. It's like, it's not what he's saying. It's how he says it.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Mitch Hedberg. I'm going to listen to his stuff later today again. He was just my favorite. I loved him so much. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Get back into your Mitch groove. I only knew about him because Grant showed him to me. It's like a generation before me. But man, oh man, when I saw his, we were just binging his stuff all night because I was seeing it with like new eyes, you know?
Oh, he's great. And there's that one, set he does where there's a guy playing bass the whole time.
Really?
I don't know if the guy's name is Chuck, but he says, like, he's always like, come on, Chuck. Like, he just, I don't know. It's hard to describe him if you don't know him. And I'm getting so sweaty now and hot.
Talking about Mitch Hedberg?
He's just so funny. I don't know. I just loved him. And I was so close to getting to see him live. And then he passed away. And I just, I really love him.
R.I.P. Mitch. We miss you.
We miss you, buddy. Okay, let's do another one. Pick another number, 1 through 176.
Sure. 101. Why not?
101.
Like the Dalmatians.
101 Dalmatians. Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you like documentaries? And if so, what is a good one you've seen recently?
I sure do. And I think my favorite... It's weird. My favorite documentary, like I love mockumentaries. Okay. So I'll tell you, Documentary Now is one of my absolutely favorite series of mockumentaries ever. Cause Fred Armisen is a king. And as for documentaries, I'm just going to Google this real quick so I don't get it wrong. Hold on a second. No problem. It's about this metal band. It's so amazing. It's about this metal band that like they were right on the precipice of just like killing it as a band. And the band was called Skillet. And I think it's called Skillet. I think it's literally Skillet documentary metal band. And like the lead singer is now like a janitor at a high school. Is it Skillet? Oh my God. If that's not right, I could be totally like getting it wrong because I have to be honest, I haven't really watched documentaries recently. Of course, something I watch yearly is The Wild and Wonderful Whites of West Virginia. Have you heard
what
of this
is that?
One?
No.
Oh, it's great. It's Johnny Knoxville produced it, and it's about this crazy family in West Virginia that's just like their head patriarch was a tap dancer, a famous tap dancer, and the family is just wild and wonderful. Like, you know, there's a lot of drug addiction going on that they touch on, but there's also like, they're just like a rowdy family from West Virginia and they're like a famous family. So like, even the cops know like, oh, one of the whites again, you know? I highly recommend it. It is just a very entertaining, crazy look into the life of this family.
I'm excited because I do really love documentaries, whether it's to actually learn something or it's to kind of like be shocked by, oh my God, I had no idea. So I go.
Yeah, this one's a shocker. This one's a shocker, but because it's Johnny Knoxville, like there's a sense of humor to it. And there is a sense of respect in it. Like, he's not totally like disparaging this family. He's just like showing you what it is and how they live.
Okay. I will check that out. Thank you.
Yeah. It's crazy.
I was, as a kid, I was obsessed with VH1 Behind the Music. I lived for a new episode. And in the 90s, those were all about like 80s bands that I didn't have any care about. But like, I would sit and learn about Motley Crue for an hour, like, even though I didn't really know any of their stuff. It wasn't my jam, because at that point I was listening to like the Backstreet Boys. But I just loved any musical, documentary, anything to learn about the ups and downs of the industry. That was like a big fascination as a kid.
Oh yeah. I mean, I do remember that show. And I remember, do you remember the one about Madonna?
Yes.
I think there was a Madonna one, and that one really struck me. And of course the Britney Spears one. Or like, what was the other one MTV had? Like True Life. Isn't that the one?
True Life. Or they had Diary. And it was like, they had a little slogan they would all say. Oh gosh. True Life.
You
would
may
cover,
not something, like, but da 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 da. I hear the music of it in my head, but I don't know what they're saying.
Oh, oh
man,
because
that was such a
Diary
long time. I haven't thought about it.
A celebrity. No, this is good, because I also just watched the, I watched both of them. There's a Netflix one and an HBO one that go over Woodstock 99.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh. Holy shit, dude.
No, okay. They're just trying to recreate that, it feels like.
Oh my gosh. It's Woodstock 99. There was like 300,000 people there. 300,000 people. And the headliners were Limp Bizkit, Kid Rock, Metallica, Korn, and then like Jewel played and Sheryl Crow. It was just the lineup alone is just insane and weird, but also there were 300,000 kids listening to Limp Bizkit at the same time. Like, it's
Limp Bizkit of all people.
Limp Bizkit. Fred Durst took 300,000 kids in his hands and asked them if they wanted to break stuff.
It's so wild. I mean, what do you think's gonna happen, Limp Bizkit? Fred Durst, what do you think's gonna happen? It's crazy.
Both of them they're basically the same documentary. There's not like a ton of like, oh my gosh, they didn't cover that in this one. But yeah, anything music industry related, I am all about learning and watching, and especially if it's nostalgic, I'm like, yeah, I'm bought in. Let's do this.
Oh my God. It just came to me. Oh my God. The documentary about the metal band is not Skillet. That is a metal band, but I'm not talking about Skillet. It's Anvil. It's literally called Anvil. The Story of Anvil.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
It's like, it's rated definitely. Very, very, I remember looking this up. It's rated very highly on Rotten Tomatoes. Like, it's very, like, people love this documentary. And a friend of mine had recommended it to me like years ago. And it is just insane. You've got to watch it.
Great.
It's great.
Okay. Thanks, Ash. I'll watch that immediately. All right. One more. 1 through 176.
Four.
Number four. Oh, this one's kind of sweet. Do you have a nighttime routine?
Oh, I did. When my life was less crazy, I did. Now it's just kind of like I work until I'm exhausted and then I pass out in bed. this is the season of my life right now. But what I'd like to start getting back to is actually, you know, this is kind of a ritual. I guess you could consider it a ritual. But my husband and I, we don't sleep with the cell phone in the bedroom. We have a charging station outside of the bedroom and we leave our phones there, because in our old apartment, we found ourselves just like scrolling in bed. And it's like, I'm next to my husband. We should be like talking or anything else, not just like scrolling on our phones. It was just like, it didn't feel that good. So it's like, all right, let's put a charging station outside and that's it. No phones.
I am on team no phone as well.
That's great.
I got
so
my
you
husband
have a
on
station?
Board. I charge it in the bathroom. It's in a different room. I have an old school alarm clock that is my clock, so I can see what time it is, set an alarm.
Oh my God, we have one too.
Yeah, but you also have your guy bought in. Mine, he's still, I don't know. I've tried to gently suggest, like, hey, you might sleep better if you don't doom scroll right before you shut your eyes to go into a blissful night's sleep.
Yeah, it's really not good for you. The blue light or whatever that is terrible. That emits, it really mm-hmm. messes with your circadian rhythm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'm going to share this again, like, buddy.
Oh, yeah. You sent him all kinds of articles about the circadian rhythm and how blue light is not good for it.
And I have found that my anxiety at nighttime, like nighttime anxiety used to be a bad time for me when I would spiral and my brain would go to all kinds of nonsense. Mm-hmm. I have not had a phone in my bedroom in maybe 2 or 3 years. I think pre-pan I started doing it. So it's before the pandemic happened. But it is mm-hmm. just such a nice detachment. Like I really, unless it is an emergency of some kind, I don't touch my phone past 8 p.m. I really don't.
That's like, a beautiful habit. Oh my God.
There's nothing there for me. What am I gonna see that I can't see tomorrow? What's there? Nothing.
That's a great way to be, for sure. I mean, for me, it's like shopping, because like I'm usually like thinking about stuff like work in the day, mm-hmm. and then it's like, oh, I need mm-hmm. something for this photo shoot. Like that's my time to like, I don't know, impulse yeah. shop sometimes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like right now, I'm literally like, I'm getting something together for a photo shoot, and the only time I have to think about it is after 8 p.m. But yes. I will say that is my rule about like eating, like no eating after 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like I just wake up. No, it's like you wake up feeling like slug. At least I do. It's just not, mm-hmm. it doesn't agree with my stomach. Yes. So yeah, I think, so our rituals are more about like our actual physical health more than mental health, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess the not scrolling is also mental.
Yes. Yeah. I find that I can start to slowly detach from things as I get closer to just sleeping, things are just calmer. It doesn't feel as rushed, but that doesn't always happen. There are some times where it's just like, all right, it's over. We're going to sleep. And it's just, there's no routine. It's just your sleep. There's nothing going on. But ideally, if I can slow it down, take my time, that's, and I ideally I'm asleep by 9:30. That's what I would do every day.
Wow.
That were
ninth. Yeah. When do you wake up?
6.
Are you like, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to get my morning in type of person?
Only because of, I mean, we have 2 dogs and 1 is a puppy. So like, he's like, hey, who's up? Who's gotcha. Up to feed me? Who wants to hang out? And then just because of like, I work from home, so I have a little bit more flexibility, but I have found for my mental health, if I can sweat early in the morning, it sets me up for a much easier day. Just I'm calmer. I've sort of like exhausted all of the angst out of me. So, mm-hmm. and then I walk them. So I do get movement in the morning, but I'm not like up having a glass of warm water with lemon and doing a face mask and yada, yada. It's not like that. It's more of, I have figured out, I don't have a manual. None of us come with a manual, but I have found out ways to hack around my quirky things about myself, you know, my anxiety. Mm-hmm. No phone at night, lots of water, exercising in the morning, ideally, if I can. And I also, the eating junk food at night or eating anything late at night also doesn't make me feel good. So there's, you know, it sounds weird, but we all end up finding whatever works for us. And I always love asking this question because sometimes we'll be spot on about the same stuff, like the no phone thing. I was like, that never happens. Nobody else ever says that. So that's lovely to hear. And then I can always get a good tip from someone about how do you wind down at the end of the day? Sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's,
it's really hard.
It's hard. I mean, in a society where like, everything is right now culture and you have so much information mm-hmm. at your fingertips. I mean, I feel like you and I are lucky because we remember a time before phones. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot like my little brothers and sisters, like they grew up with phones. Like they mm-hmm. have constant media at their fingertips, and even the way they socialize and interact, I notice is different than myself. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll give you an example. Like, speaking of phones, I left my phone at a party this past weekend because I got really drunk and really high. It was a very, very good time. And I was just like, I was like, we gotta go. Like, I was ready to go. And I go to my husband, I'm like, we gotta go. And he's like, but your phone. And I'm like, I don't care. And so I got to have a Sunday. I knew where my phone was. It was at my friend's house. So I gave myself a Sunday without a phone. And it was the nicest gift I ever gave to myself. We went to the Melrose Trading Post. We had a little lunch there. Really, truly, I cooked for the week, like had a full Sunday. And I'm like, man, I don't think it would have been this productive if I had my phone on me. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. For my birthday, I gave myself no phone. My phone was in a different room on my birthday.
Wow, what a
I was
gift.
like, I know. And then I had two, my brothers both called me. I was like, sorry, guys, I didn't have my phone with me today. I appreciate the calls, but no phone. No phone today.
That's
It's
it.
a weird
That's, I mean,
luxury.
there's so much to do. There's so much out there that's outside of the phone. Like, you
Yes.
just have to
Yes.
see it.
Yes, exactly. I'm glad that you get me because I get worried sometimes that I'm just a, like a weirdo that's not wanting to be on her phone all day. So I feel a little bit
No, I'm a
better.
weirdo right there with you. You are not alone.
Perfect. Okay, so the last thing we do is we give advice. So this segment is called Asking for a Friend.
Oh,
And
sure.
listeners write in questions. Do you like giving advice?
I do if it's asked of me. I don't like giving unsolicited advice.
Okay, well, this question isn't for you specifically, but this person is looking for advice. So let's see how you feel about this one. The question is, how do you deal with nerves, specifically nerves created from going out of your comfort zone and starting a new journey? Do you have any advice?
Ooh, that's a very particular type of nerve. That's a good question. My guitar teacher, when I was a young thing, learning my chords, learning my C chord, learning my D chord, he he taught he said something to me that has always stuck. And he was talking about how uncomfortable, because I was trying to do like a G chord, which was so weird for me. Like my hands just couldn't understand it for like the longest time. And he said, he was like, if it's uncomfortable, it means you're getting better. It's only going to make you better. And so instead of looking at the anxiety and the uncomfortability as like a negative thing, I tend to look at those things as like a challenge or like, oh, okay, well, on the other side of this, I'm going to be better. So as long as I keep that in my head, no matter what it is, if it's just like conquering a task in the day that makes me nervous, or tackling a project that makes me nervous, I know that on the other side of it, I will be better for it. That's my
That's
advice.
perfect. That's perfect advice. That's perfect. Oh,
Yeah,
Ash.
because you're only going to get better.
Ash, you've got it all. You've really
Oh
got it
my God.
all. You've really
One day,
got
still working on it.
Oh, goodness. Well, I want to give you the floor to let everybody know where is the utmost importance for them to like, follow, stream, subscribe, whatever it is that you think. So they can keep up to date on all of your wonderful projects.
Oh, that's sweet. Well, I'd say if you want to listen to my music as Ash Gordon, your new friend Ash Gordon, just look up my name on Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you stream music, I'm there. Ash Gordon, Gordon. Very, very easy. If you'd like to hear my musical, we are streaming everywhere. Just look up Drag the Musical, and there we are. And same goes for socials, Ash Gordon with two underscores on Instagram. And then Ash Gordon time on TikTok. And yeah, I think that does it. Oh, and Drag the Musical, which I mentioned before, at Drag the Musical on Instagram is where you can find us. That was a little jumbled. Again, I got a lot of burners on the stove going.
But
But
you're good. You're good.
yeah,
Well,
but that's it. But
Ash.
definitely please follow me on whatever streaming platforms you can, because that helps with the algorithm. And as we all know, the algorithm is king these days. So thank you.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Ash. This was lovely. Congratulations on everything. And I'm just cheering for you. I got a big foam finger that says, "Go, Ash." I'm waving it.
Oh,
Waving
thank you
in
so much. And thank you for
the air.
having me. This was absolutely a blast, Sarah.
Of course. And anytime, you're welcome to come back. The next time you're like, by the way, I created a rom-com that's based on me meeting my partner. I'm happy to have you on to talk about that as well, or whatever else creative stuff comes out of your brain. Come on.
Well, off air, I'm going to have to hear your story so it can help with my story and writing that rom-com.
Yes, yes. Perfect. Thank you so much, Ash. Have a lovely day and we'll talk soon.
Thank you. Have a good one.